Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we uplift your soul and mind and spirit by teaching of God's Word.
God wants to change you from glory to glory through the power of the Holy Ghost, renewing your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your emotions. And this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and we're going through my book, Biblical EQ, that you can find at biblicaleq.com. And today, we're talking about the power of God working in your life to change you just as God changed Jesus. What did I say? We'll find out more about that later. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to behold the wonderful things that are in your Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Did God change Jesus? What did I say? Surely Jesus is the Son of God from all eternity. Indeed, he is. He is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in his human form, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he changed sequentially as a young man growing up, and at the age of 12, he was so full of brilliance he could confound the scholars of his age. And by the time he was 30, he was down there at the Jordan River, and he went through the waters of baptism. Before he was baptized, he did not do any miracles whatsoever. After he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him in power, and he went around healing people and delivering people of demons and doing all the miracles that we are familiar with in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So what happened at that baptism? What happened in Jesus that changed his emotions, his mind, his soul, and his spirit? And it was such an extraordinary change that the people in Nazareth noticed it. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of the unbelief. Matthew 13, verses 54 to 58 in the NKJV. So, what happened? The people at Nazareth said, "We know this guy. He can't do this. He's different. He's been changed." It's called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He got baptized in the waters. He got baptized with the Holy Spirit. He got changed. He got empowered. The Holy Spirit came upon him in power. Now, the Holy Spirit was always in Jesus, of course. That's why he could live a perfect life from birth. He was not subjected to sin the way we are. He had a body prepared for him to be obedient to God, and we'll look at that later in this broadcast. But God had a Holy Spirit body prepared, and the Holy Spirit was in him, giving him love, joy, peace, wisdom, goodness, kindness, self-control, all the fruit of the Spirit he had from conception. And he was recognized by John the Baptist in the womb as being the Messiah. So the Spirit was in him, and the Spirit was a part of him. He was a glorious, wonderful human being, and fully man and fully God, of course. But at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him as well as in him. And we look at the Old Testament and we see the Holy Spirit coming upon people. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson, and he picked up a jawbone of an axe and slew 1,000 Philistines. The Holy Spirit would come upon the prophet Ezekiel, and he would prophesy. He would say, "The word of God came to me in a certain time, in a certain place." The Holy Spirit would come upon him and give him prophetic words. So the Holy Spirit comes upon people to do spectacular things, to do miracles, to prophesy, to do mighty works of God. So there's two ways the Holy Spirit relates to you. The Holy Spirit in you, which happens at salvation. You get saved, you get born again, you are made new, you are made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your heart is changed, your mind is changed. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you and you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. But then there is another transforming work that occurs, and that's the Holy Spirit coming upon people to fill them with joy and exuberance so that they sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so that they are people full of the joy and power of the Lord. And those people have the Holy Spirit upon them. And if you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon you in power, then go and ask God, God, I would like to know more of the Holy Spirit. I would like the Holy Spirit to come upon me in power. I'd like the Holy Spirit to change my ability to live life exuberantly, powerfully and well. Because that's what happened to Jesus. One minute he was not able to do miracles, the next he was. Because the Holy Spirit had come upon him with a powerful anointing. And if you're a minister of the gospel, an elder, a deacon, a pastor, or just a mature Christian, you need the Holy Spirit upon you in power so that you can glorify God wherever you go in life. Let's look at a quote from Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus and stayed upon Jesus. He didn't just zoom away. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, imparted these qualities to him, including miracle-working power, and rested and abode on Jesus. And it says, the one on whom you see the Holy Spirit abide and remain, that one is the Messiah. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson and it would go away. It would come upon a prophet and go away. But with Jesus, the Holy Spirit remained because he is the sinless Son of God. And the power was always with him and always in him. So we find that his emotional intelligence, his ability to cope with life, was greatly enhanced by the baptism in the Holy Spirit, by having the Holy Spirit come upon him, just as was prophesied to the apostles by Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So if you want to be a witness to Jesus Christ, what do you need? You need the Holy Spirit upon you, as well as in you. So ask for that, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. I'm not going to push anything on you, but go and ask God that for yourself so that you can have spiritual power and ministry and a great anointing. The next thing we want to know about Jesus is how the Holy Spirit was responsible for his physical condition. And here we find that in Hebrews. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 7. So God prepared a special body for Jesus that was able to do the will of God because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He had a human body, but it was a special body that was specially prepared to do the will of God. Now, Romans 8:11 tells us that our mortal bodies are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose of God renewing our mortal bodies in Romans 8:11? Why does God renew our mortal bodies? So we can do the will of God, because our mortal bodies are full of lusts and impulses and crazy things and mad thoughts. They proceed from our flesh, from our mortal body that needs to be renewed. The mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And when we set our mind on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit works in our mortal body to prepare it to do the will of God. And our body can be changed. We can get out of all those bad habits. Let's look at a couple of Bible verses here. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What's the point of that life? The point of that life is obedience to God. Later on in Corinthians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 to 11. So what did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit washed them, sanctified them, justified them, and prepared them for eternity by dealing with the impulses of their flesh. The Holy Spirit came in and changed their flesh nature into a holy nature so that all those bad habits were gone, they were got rid of, they had no more power over the Corinthian believers. Such were some of you. They changed. The Holy Spirit can change you from glory to glory. The Holy Spirit can change you from bad habits to good habits. The Holy Spirit can make of you a new person, give you new power over your impulses, over your sins, over the things that have destroyed you year after year. God wants to do a mighty work in you. He wants to renew you and give you spiritual power through the Holy Spirit coming upon you. He wants to change your mortal body and all its sins, all its impulses, all its lusts, all its greed, all its anger, and all its rage that comes from your physical fight or flight reflexes. God wants to change you from glory to glory. And he does that not through your own efforts, but by grace, through faith, through the working of the Holy Spirit within you. And to do that, you first need to be saved. If you're not saved, go and talk to a pastor, go and read the New Testament, cry out to God for salvation. And as you cry out for God for salvation, cry out to God for transformation. And you will be transformed. You will be a temple of the Holy Spirit. God will dwell in you. God will dwell upon you. God will strengthen you. God will give you power and ministry. God will give you victory over the sin in your life. You will break through. You will break free from the things that have held you in bondage over the years as you trust God. The Holy Spirit is the key to changing your life. And my book, Biblical EQ at biblicaleq.com, will give you more details about this. But you need to find Christ. It is the power of Christ. It's the power of his salvation. It's the power of his transformation. Just as the Corinthians were transformed from their sin, you can be transformed from your sin. And just as Jesus went from being good but not having any power to being good and having lots of power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just as the apostles did, they were good, but they didn't have any power till Pentecost came when the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's two works of the Holy Spirit in you to get rid of your sin, upon you to make you fit for ministry. So let me repeat that. There's two works of the Holy Spirit in you to wipe you clean of your sin, to transform your mortal body into a body that can obey God. And secondly, there's a work of the Holy Spirit upon you in power. Cry out to God for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and glory be to God. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. Please visit his website, eternityradio.org, where you can send in your prayer requests and support this worldwide Bible teaching radio ministry. Remember, eternityradio.org.